but Sven had no hall. There was his father's house, of course, and for a day we plotted revenge on that, discussing how we would burn it down and spear the family as they ran out. But it was only boastful boy talk, and of course nothing came of it. Instead, we built ourselves a new hall, higher in the woods. It was not as fanciful as the old, not nearly so weathertight, really nothing more than a crude shelter of branches and bracken. But we nailed a stoat's skull to its makeshift gable and assured ourselves that we still had our kingdom in the hills. But nothing short of total victory would satisfy Sven. And a few days later, when our chores were done, just Rorik, Thyra and I went up to our new hall. Thyra spun while Rorik and I argued over where the best swords were made. He saying it was Denmark and I claiming the prize for England. Neither of us old enough or sensible enough to know that the best blades come from Francia. And after a while, we got tired of arguing and picked up our sharpened ash poles that served as play spears and decided to look for the wild boar that sometimes trampled through the wood at nightfall. We would not have dared try to kill a boar. They were much too big. But we pretended we were great hunters, and just as we two great hunters were readying to go into the woods, Sven attacked. Just him and two of his followers. But Sven, instead of carrying a wooden sword, swung a real blade, long as a man's arm, the steel glittering in the winter light, and he ran at us, bellowing like a madman. Rorik and I, seeing the fury in his eyes, ran away. He followed us, crashing through the wood like the wild boar we had wanted to stalk, and it was only because we were much faster that we got away from that wicked blade. And then a moment later, we heard Thyra scream. We crept back, cautious of the sword that Sven must have taken from his father's house, and when we reached our pathetic hut, found that Thyra was gone. Her distaff was on the floor, and her wool was all speckled with dead leaves and pieces of twig. Sven had always been clumsy in his strength, and he had left a trail through the woods that was easy enough to follow. And after a while, we heard voices. We kept following, crossing the ridgetop where beeches grew, then down into our enemy's valley. And Sven did not have the sense to post a rear guard who would have seen us. Instead, reveling in his victory, he'd gone to the clearing that must have been his refuge in the wood, because there was a stone hearth in the centre. And I remember wondering why we had never built a similar hearth for ourselves. He had tied Thyra to a tree and stripped the tunic from her upper body. There was nothing to see there. She was just a small girl, only 8 years old, and thus 4 or 5 years from being marriageable. But she was pretty, and that was why Sven had half stripped her. I could see that Sven's two companions were unhappy. Thyra, after all, was Earl Ragnar's daughter, and what had started as a game was now dangerous. But Sven had to show off. He had to prove he had no fear. He had no idea Rorik and I were crouched in the undergrowth, and I do not suppose he would have cared if he had known. He had dropped the sword by the hearth, and now he planted himself in front of Thyra and took down his breeches. "Touch it," he ordered her. One of his companions said something I could not hear. "She won't tell anyone," Sven said confidently. "And we won't hurt her." He looked back to Thyra. "I won't hurt you if you touch it." It was then that I broke cover. I was not being brave. Sven's companions had lost their appetite for the game. Sven himself had his breeches round his ankles, and his sword was lying loose in the clearing centre, and I snatched it up and ran at him. He somehow kept his feet as he turned. "I'll touch it," I shouted, and I swung the long blade at his prick, but the sword was heavy. I'd not used a man's blade before, and instead of hitting where I'd aimed, I sliced it down his bare thigh, opening the skin. And I swung it back, using all my strength, and the blade chopped into his waist where his clothes took most of the force. He fell over, shouting, and his two friends dragged me away as Rorik went to untie his sister.